I'm going to ask you to think back. Think back to the time that you first used Gmail. I know, it's so nerdy. But if you recall, Gmail access was originally by invitation only, and those invitations were highly coveted. When I ultimately got my invitation, I still had my computer store, and one of the kids that worked for me part-time, what up Todd, if you're listening, he hooked me up with my first invitation. And since that fateful night in 2003 or 2004, from a consumer perspective, I've been a Google fanboy. There are those who love Apple, and there are those who love Microsoft, I think. But I've always been a Google guy since I've had the opportunity to use their products. And Google is going through a bit of a transformation right now. The consumer and end user focused company that I became enamored with is drastically changing as they go to more of an enterprise user focus. Google is doing some very impressive things in the enterprise realm, and they're also doing some very confusing things in the consumer market. There was a lot of big and small changes that were announced last week, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to discuss them and maybe reminisce a little bit about all things Google. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 62. I think this episode's going to go a little long, so I'm not going to do acquisitions this week, but I am going to talk about an acquisition, because Google confirmed that they acquired a company called Kaggle. Of course, the terms were not disclosed, but that's not surprising for Google. But this platform apparently has thousands of data scientists on the platform, and it gives Google immediate access to all of those people to broaden its reach within the AI community. Google also acquired another company called AppBridge. This company helps users migrate data from an on-prem file server into G Suite and Google Drive. Very telling. So what do these acquisitions mean for Google? As I mentioned in the intro, Google is starting to have a much deeper focus on enterprise customers. I think it's fair to assume that this strategy is coming from Diane Greene. We've talked about Diane Greene before. She's an investor, and she's a member of Google's board of directors, but she has a long history in Silicon Valley and in the IT world. She was the CEO of VMware until 2008, and she was recently appointed the VP of Google's cloud business. As I've covered Google's cloud business over the last year, one of the common critiques is that they do not have enough customers. They have been extremely aggressive in luring and attracting customers over the last few months. And during that time, they have managed to score Apple as a customer, SAP is now a customer, and they're also helping them promote their HANA platform. And then you have more social media companies like Spotify and Evernote, who have been on the platform for a little while. But Google is doing more than just trying to compete with Amazon on hosting applications that other developers make. Google has a huge advantage over Amazon due to the fact that they already have a suite of applications that billions of people use. You have a competitor to Microsoft Office, which is now known as G Suite. You have the Gmail app. You have Enterprise Search. You have Calendar. You have blogging platforms. You have instant messaging. You have video conferencing. Now let's look at Amazon. They just bought Chime to do video conferencing. There's rumors that they're developing an Office suite to compete with Microsoft and Google. And of course, Amazon famously forked Google's Android operating system for their Fire tablets. But Google clearly has much better market presence with tablet and phone integration. Google has the applications, but they don't have the customers. If you go back and listen to Sourcecast episodes 48 and 52, which we talk about data centers and green technology, Google's ahead of Amazon in aspects like sustainability and energy consumption. And for all reviews and intent and purposes, Google has a very solid cloud hosting platform that just hasn't been turned on for enterprise focus until recently. In my opinion, Google's problem is that enterprise customers don't necessarily view them as an enterprise company. I think they view them closer to an Apple, which has historically been more consumer focused. And because they are viewed as a consumer company with consumer focused frivolity, they may not be taken as seriously as Amazon and Microsoft and IBM, sort of. So now we're starting to see Google take more of an enterprise stance. They are rebranding their tools like Google Hangouts into more of a enterprise chat tool. And they've actually split this Hangouts application into a chat tool similar to Slack. And then they've also broken off the video conferencing tool into its own separate applet. And for consumers that have been using these tools, there's a lot of confusion. Google Hangouts has been on my desktop for years. And Google is starting to push consumers towards two different chat and video conferencing applications called Allo, or Allo, and Duo. So Google has four different communication apps, not including the texting app on your smartphone. So if you're a business user that is issued an Android smartphone for your work phone, but you're allowed to use it for personal use, which I don't like to do, but I'm sure some people don't want to carry two phones around. Does that mean you need four different applications on your phone to do messaging? Especially when the company had one app that did everything, and now they forked it into four different apps, plus the default text messaging app. I've painted a confusing picture, but this is actually much more coherent than where we were a few months ago when nobody knew what was going on. So while Google has a user base, technology, and money, they're still the underdog. They're still fighting Amazon, who is an 800-pound gorilla of web hosting. Amazon is also acquiring companies like Thinkbox, which provides tools for media and content design. And then they also acquired another company to help Chime called Do. And this helps make meetings more productive by managing notes in preparation of the meeting and creating reports. So these companies are gobbling up smaller productivity firms that are building little applications to make their suites more enticing to use. They're not killer apps. They're just little improvements that makes the entire suite more enticing to use. And as you see schools and public sector companies move towards things like Google applications and Gmail, are we seeing banks and insurance companies and old, stodgy corporations shift from the traditional email server that's physically in your facility and moving it over to a cloud-based solution? I don't foresee a lot of these companies giving up that level of control, at least not yet. So you don't have the companies that have a ton of money to throw around investing in the cloud solutions. And smaller, more nimble organizations who are not cash rich do use these things and will ultimately influence the culture of technology usage, especially as the people who work in those smaller companies move into older corporate environments. These technologies will move with them eventually. But Google, Amazon, and Microsoft have a long way to go. And Google needs to show some wins now. They did a good job with SAP. Oh, and I almost forgot. Google just stole Verizon away from Microsoft as a cloud customer. Specifically, they are migrating 150,000 Verizon employees to the G Suite. And I find that extremely puzzling considering Verizon just spent $4 billion buying Yahoo, who has an email suite, not as good, doesn't have all the apps, but they did buy an email company and they do own AOL, who happens to have email as well. So there is another corporate win. But the public and investors will forget about that shortly. I'm rooting for you, Google, but don't mess with my chat applications, and if you really want me to switch to Allo, you better support desktop integration and texting. And before I sign off this week, I'm going to ask my listeners for a favor. If you're enjoying Sourcecast, if you enjoy reading the Source blog and all the posts, I'm not asking you for money, but can you please pass on the word? If you're getting something out of Sourcecast and the Source blog, maybe your friends and colleagues will as well. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music is provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.